Good morning and welcome. Our opening song this morning is called All Creatures of Our God and King. It's a song that we sing regularly here in church. And the second line says, lift up your voice and with us sing. So why don't you do that? Lift up your voice and let's sing praises to our great Creator.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Trevor Ramsay from Newtonbury Baptist was booked to be our preacher this morning. We introduced Trevor a few weeks ago on Association Sunday this year. Trevor is the president of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland. And every year as a church, we invite the president to come and preach for us during one of our Sunday morning services. And even though we're in lockdown and even though we're on an online service, we're so grateful that Trevor is going to share with us today. He's recorded two videos, a greeting that we're going to watch in a few moments' time, and in our sermon later on in our service. Now, Trevor is no stranger to us here in Carrick. He was the pastor of Green Island Baptist, our neighbouring Baptist church, for many years. He was actually my pastor when I was a member of Newton Breda Baptist in Belfast. And the last time Trevor preached for us here in Carrick was at my induction service when I became the pastor back in 2013. Trevor is also led to faith in Jesus Christ as his Saviour through one of our church members, our church administrator, David McClurg. And it's been a real joy, I know, for David just to see how Trevor has gone on, not only in his faith, but in full-time Christian ministry as well. And so I've asked David, after Trevor's greeting, to pray for Trevor and to pray for him in this role as our president over the next year.
Good morning to you all in Carrickfergus Baptist Church this morning. This is Pastor Trevor Ramsay here. I'm the president of our Association of Churches. I am so disappointed personally that I cannot be with you there this morning. I have been looking forward to coming for some time. I've got so many friends in the Carrick Church. In God's providence, I can't be with you physically this morning, but I just wanted to bring you greetings on behalf of our association, on behalf of all of our sister churches. I'm speaking to you this morning from my office here in Newton Breda Baptist Church. You can see that beside me here is a photograph of the Nokka. I also have a little framed photograph here of the Nokka. These photographs stay in my office all the time. They remind me about the years I spent in Green Island, and it was such a blessing to be there and such a love for the Green Island and the Carrickfergus area. So personally, I'm disappointed I can't be there this morning. I was so looking forward to worshiping with you and renewing some fellowship and friendships with you all there in Carrick. On behalf of our association, thank you for all that you're doing in these challenging days. We are an association of 117 churches. 29 of them are in the Republic of Ireland. That's incredible. Just think about that for a moment. 29 churches in the Republic of Ireland. When I served the Lord back in Limerick in the late 80s and early 90s, I think we had maybe around 10 Baptist churches in our association in the Republic. Today, 29. That's a remarkable story of God's goodness and grace over the last couple of decades. Every one of our churches is working hard in these days to make Christ known. We're very different churches. We differ in our ethos and in our culture, in our approach to the ministry. Yet what unites us is our commitment to the gospel and our desire to see God glorified in our island, north, south, east, and west. Our missions departments, missions, youth, and women's departments are serving God and doing what they can in these challenging days. We have an excellent theological college, and I can commend to you all of those departments and the college. And I know that these departments and the college have been used of God in so many ways. And no doubt you will have heard from Dave and others in the church of the good things that are happening through our churches. The association is the churches, and the churches are the association. And that's basically what we are and what we do. We band together. We're not a denomination. We band together to share the love of Jesus in this island home. And it's my privilege to visit churches either remotely like this or in person, hopefully, God willing, in days to come, and to share the stories of what God is doing in our association and to hear the stories of what God is doing in our churches. I just want to commend you the work of the association for your prayers and for your support. I am so grateful to your pastor and leaders for the gracious invitation to speak to you this morning. I am going to be speaking to you from Psalm 136 on His love endures forever. This is a message which I recorded just a few weeks ago for our own church here in Newton Breda. I recorded it in the Village, which is our church coffee shop. When I reviewed back, I thought it was so appropriate and so relevant, and I trust it will be a blessing for you this morning in Carrick. I look forward to being able to be with you personally at some stage in the future. In the meantime, may God bless you as a church. Keep safe and keep serving God, and may the Lord himself be honored in the town of Carrickfergus and the surrounding area. You take care.
Good morning, everyone. When Peter asked me to pray this morning for Trevor, I was delighted to do so. I have an old Bible that I keep with at the front of it my prayer list from many years ago. And the name Trevor Ramsey, saved at Clockfern Corner, is one of the first on that list. And so I've been praying for Trevor for years. Never once asked the Lord to make him president of the association. But that's what the Lord has done. And I'm just delighted to pray for him this morning. So let's pray. Our eternal God and Father, we come into your presence through our God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to pray for our church, it is with confidence that we do so, as you have said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We thank you that you moved in the hearts of men and women 125 years ago to form this association. We praise you for all that you have accomplished through that association, through your work and your ministry down through those years. We pray for each department and each of the directors and ask that you would bless them. This morning, Lord, we ask particularly for Trevor as he begins his role as president this year. We ask that you would use him mightily to encourage and support all of the churches in the association. We pray that you would protect him and bless him, and Lord, that you would just thrill him with the joy of being used in your work. And so, Lord, we do ask that this year would be a real time of blessing within our association, that we would see souls saved and added on to the church. But above all, Father, we ask that your Son, our God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be glorified in all things, for we ask it in his name. Amen and amen.
See the price of treasured love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death the God of life, but no grave could e'er restrain. The Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance! How unwavering our hope! Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. What a deliverance, how unwavering our hope! Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
I wonder what your favourite food is, boys and girls. If you could choose anything for a special meal, what would you go for? Maybe like chips or chicken nuggets or pizza or pasta. There's lots and lots of things you could choose as your favourite meal. I wonder, have any of you been to McDonald's drive-thru here in Carrick since it reopened this week? I must confess, the Lothers, we did go the day that it opened. It was the kids who made me go on that day. But in Bible times, they wouldn't have had the big choice that we have for favourite foods, because pretty much they ate the same food every day. Every day somebody in the house would have got up and they would have baked some bread, and day after day, that's what they would have eaten to keep them alive. It was their daily bread. And it's good to know that, because it helps the Lord's Prayer make sense when we come to the line that we're going to look at today. And to find out that line, let's watch the video.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
We've come to the line that Lily said on the video, give us this day our daily bread. And so when Jesus taught people to pray that, he's asking them to come to God, God the Father, a God who cares for us, and to ask him for our needs, the things that we require to keep us alive. And we want to think about what our book says, this book that we've been going through, what every child should know about prayer. Let me read it to you. It said, Jesus teaches us to ask God for what we need. That's important. He doesn't ask us to pray for what we want. There's lots and lots of things we really like, but he teaches us to pray for what we need. Then it goes on to say, God is a good father who loves to take care of his children. He is happy when we ask him to provide what we need. Jesus teaches us to ask God to give us what we need each day. Sometimes we want God to give us everything we will ever need right now, but God wants us to depend on him to give us what we need today and come back again tomorrow to ask him for what we need then. He wants us to trust him to take care of us day by day. And because Jesus taught us to pray like that, let's do that. Let's pray and ask God to provide for our needs. Father, please give me everything I need for this day, and thank you that I can ask the same thing tomorrow. Amen. We're going to sing our children's song now, and it's a song that teaches us again that we have a God who cares for us. It's called Living, Loving, Lasting.
God is living, he's alive today, he is loving, he will never change, he is lasting, he will always be this living, loving, lasting God. He cares for me.
Thank you.
is lasting. He is always there. I can talk to him here or anywhere. He will always hear. He will always care. This living, loving, lasting God, he hears my prayer.
Earlier in his greeting, Trevor mentioned that he was going to preach from Psalm 136 today. Jordan Blaine is going to read that passage to us now, and then Trevor is going to share from God's Word.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever.
I wonder what sort of memory you have. Can you remember things? Or do you constantly forget things? Some people have got fantastic memories. You know, they can remember the kind of the 13th word of a conversation they had with you at 9:45 on a Friday night in September 2006. You know, that kind of memory. Other people have terrible memories. They can't even remember an hour ago, let alone a day ago, a month ago, or a year ago. Have you ever had the experience where you've gone into a room to get something, and when you've ended up in the room, you've asked yourself, what did I come in here for? It's interesting to know that different people have got different capacities to remember things. Some people have great memories. Some people have terrible memories. The God that we worship is a God who both remembers things and forgets things. You see, he remembers you. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows you personally. He knows who you are. He knows what's going on in your life today. He knows your thoughts. He knows your anxieties, your fears, your worries, your stresses. He knows what's going on deep down in the inner recesses of your heart that nobody else knows. And he remembers you today. You are special to him. You are precious to him. You are very much in the forefront of his thoughts. But our God is also a God who forgets things. When we come to Christ and we ask for forgiveness for our sins, we repent and we're born again. The Bible says that it's like God takes our sins and he casts them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to remember them against us anymore. So our God is a God who remembers things and a God who forgets things. He has got a great memory to remember you. And he's also willing to forget our sins and those things which we have sinned against him. When we come to Christ, all our sins are forgiven. They're remembered no more. Now, the psalm that we read together today has got this repetitive phrase 26 times, his love endures forever. This psalm is called a remembering psalm because the Jewish people would have taken this psalm and sung it at the Passover, and they would have remembered what God had done for them in the past. It was an aid or a help to them to remember who God was, what God had done, and how God had blessed them in the past. This was the last of the Hallel Psalms, the Psalms that were sung at the Passover. And I think it's interesting that some scholars think that this Psalm may well have been the Psalm that Jesus sang with his disciples in the upper room before he left to go to the garden and then ultimately to the cross. Now, this Psalm is a great Psalm to help us remember his love endures forever. So there's a couple of things I want to point out to you in the psalm this morning that hopefully will be a help to us as we all go through this pandemic. It reminds us and helps us remember who God is. That's a good thing because it's easy to forget, isn't it? With everything that's going on, our stressful lives right now, perhaps you're in a situation where you are worried about your health or the health of a loved one. Perhaps you're worried about your job, your income, your employment. Perhaps there are many fears which potentially can grip your mind right now, and it's really good to remember who God is. So first of all, I want you to see the explanation of it. His love endures forever. God is love. This word here for love is a Hebrew word, hesed. It means faithful love, loyal love, loving kindness. It's steadfast love. It's mercy. It's one of those very colorful, powerful Hebrew words that's actually very difficult to translate into the English language. The word love seems so bland when we think about hesed. It's this idea that God is committed to us, that God is for us, that God is with us. This is not a love which is here today and gone tomorrow. This is not a love which is changing. This is constant. This is hesed. His love endures forever. That's the explanation of it. Look at the secondly, at the extent of it. His love endures forever until the day we die and then beyond that into heaven. This is not a love which is here today and gone tomorrow. This is not a love which changes. No virus can change God's love. No pandemic can change God's love. No circumstance can change God's love. It is a love which endures forever. Now, the love of God is seen supremely in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth and lived a sinless life and ultimately died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And when we want to know how much does God love us, we look at Jesus and we see in the person of Jesus the very demonstration of the love of God himself. In fact, that's why the Apostle Paul could say in Romans chapter 8 these wonderful words, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because his love endures forever. That's the extent of it. So I want you to know this morning that God loves you. And some of you listening to this find that hard to accept, because you might say to yourself, nobody could love me. I'm not worthy of anybody's love. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good looking enough. I am not clever enough. Nobody could love me. Maybe you feel starved today of anybody's love. Maybe you haven't experienced the love of another human being to its fullest. I want you to know, listen carefully, God loves you. His love endures forever. And there's nothing that you can do that can make God love you more. And there's nothing that you can do that can make God love you less. He loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to purchase you, to redeem you, to bring you into his family. There was once a little boy who was quite good, you know, with a little bit of woodwork. And he was messing about with some woodwork. And he made himself a little bit of a toy boat. It was a bit rough and ready. It wasn't wonderful, but it was his. And he had made it. And he put a little sail on it. And he thought he would take it down to the river to try it out. And when he dropped it into the river, the flow of the river carried the boat away. And he lost it. First time in the river, lost the boat. And he was so heartbroken. He was devastated. He had put so much work and time and effort into it. Yeah, it wasn't a wonderful work of art, but it was his. It was his, and he had lost it. Imagine his surprise when a few months later he was with his mum and they were just browsing through a charity shop, and far in the far corner of a charity shop, he saw this boat that he had made, and it was on sale. It was only a few pence. It was looking a bit rough and a bit ragged, and it was just lying there in the corner, and the shop owner had just put it there thinking no one would ever want it, but if they got 10p for it, he'd be happy. And the little boy was so excited. It's my boat, it's my boat. And he bought it. And he took it home with him again. And as he set it in his bedroom table and he looked at it, he thought to himself, I made you and I've bought you. And so twice you are mine. And that's how much God loves us. He made us and then he bought us. And that's why he loves us, and that's why his love endures forever. So there's the explanation of it, and then there's the extent of it. And then in this psalm, really quickly, if you've got your Bible there and you're following the psalm with me or following it on your device, you'll see not just the explanation of it and the extent of it, but you'll see examples of it. In verses 1 to 3, we see an example of his love in his character. This psalm says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His character. This psalm reminds us that he is God of gods. He is Lord of lords. You see, in that day, the culture was very polytheistic. People worshipped all sorts of gods. And Judaism was the only religion which was monotheistic. There was one God, one Lord of lords. Now, when you think about our culture, what do you think it is? Do you think it's polytheistic or monotheistic? Well, it's polytheistic, isn't it? Because our society worships all kinds of gods, some visible and some invisible, some external and some internal. And they're just little counterfeit gods. They're not gods at all, but people worship them. Why? Because we are made to worship. We are made to give honor and praise and adoration to something or to someone. And people worship all kinds of little gods. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, even if there are so-called gods. Chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, verse 5. Whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and from whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ. Through him all things came and through whom we live. We see the enduring love of God in his character. I want you to lift your eyes to God in these days, to realize that our God is sovereign, our God is king, our God is in control, our God has not abdicated, he has not left the building, he has not left the control of the world to some virus. No, our God is God of gods, he is Lord of lords, and his love endures forever. And when you realize the character of God, it becomes even more incredible to realize that God loves us. The psalm goes on to say that we not only see the love of God in his character, but we see the love of God in his creation in verses 5-9. It says here, God made all things. Look at the words. He, by his understanding, made the heavens. He spread out the earth upon the water. He made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night. You see, these are active words. God spread out. God made. God did not just kind of set up the world and then take a step back and watch it spin out of control. No, our God was very active in the very act of creation. And what a great job he's made. The old Louis Armstrong song was, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. When you think about the fish that he made, 28,000 different varieties of fish. When you think about the birds that he made, 10,000 different varieties of birds. When you think about the species and the varieties of animals, some people say it's almost impossible to know how many varieties of animals are in the world. The best guess is 1.2 million. It's incredible. You look at the heavens. Bible says God made the moon and the stars. We were out walking the other night and we saw that incredible bright light in the sky and then the other stars around it, and it was just phenomenal. Here's what one person said about the planets. There are no iron tracks with bars and bolts to hold the planets in their orbits. Freely in space they move, ever changing, but never changing, poised and balancing, swaying and swayed, disturbing and disturbed. Onward they fly, fulfilling with unerring certainty their mighty cycles. We have a cherry blossom tree in our back garden, and it's been blooming marvelously the last couple of weeks. It's just beginning to fade now, because you know that with cherry blossoms, they burst into bloom and they only last for a few weeks and then they start to fade away. And I was thinking about this cherry blossom tree. It's magnificent for just a couple of weeks. And then the rest of the year, it kind of lies dormant, you know, and there's no color in it. And then next April, it will just burst into color again and it will be magnificent. And who told the cherry tree to do that? How does the cherry tree know to act in that way, to bloom at this time of the year? It's our God, isn't it? And science and the Bible concur. God made the heavens and the earth. And when you think about that and you see his love in creation, it is even more incredible that the love of God endures forever and that God loves you. The third thing you'll see God's love in this psalm is in his calling. You'll notice in verses 10 to 16, the psalmist talks about what God did for his people in Egypt. I'm sure you probably know the story of how the people of God were in slavery in Egypt. And Moses had said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh had refused to do that. And so God sent those plagues, and you'll remember the last plague was the slaying of the firstborn. And that was the event and the incident which the Jewish people remembered subsequently every year in the feast of the Passover, because having sprinkled the blood on their doorposts, the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so the firstborn of the Jewish people were spared, and the firstborn of the Egyptians died. And as a result of that, Pharaoh sent them out, let them go. And they got as far as the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was following them, as you know, and they were caught between the Red Sea in front of them and the army behind them, and they didn't know what to do. And God worked that amazing miracle of parting the Red Sea so that his people could cross the Red Sea and move into the land of Canaan. And then when the Egyptian army, Pharaoh's soldiers, tried to follow, the sea closed in upon them and they drowned. And God wanted them to remember that. He wanted to remember the great things that he had done for them in the past. You see, we are inclined to forget. Our memories are not good when it comes to reflecting on the goodness of God to us. How many times in our lives has God answered our prayer and we have rejoiced for a day or two, and then the following week or month or year, we've completely forgotten how God has stepped in and answered that prayer for us, how he's met our need and provided for us. And God didn't want his people to forget. And so in this psalm, he reminds them of his love. His love endures forever. And that love was seen in his calling. And you can hear the Jewish people singing this psalm at the Passover and remembering that the God they worshipped is the God that stepped in and delivered them from Pharaoh's army and brought them across the Red Sea. And the reason they would sing this psalm was so that the next generation would know how good God is and would know what God had done for his people. God did not want his people to forget. And his love endures forever in his calling of them. Notice this also, the psalm goes on to say that his love endures forever. And we see an example of that in his conquest. Verses 17 to 22. And you'll see in these verses, it says this: to him who struck down great kings, who killed mighty kings, Zion, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, gave their land as an inheritance to his people Israel. And here we find a historical reference back to Numbers chapter 21. Og was the king of the Amorites, and Zion was the king of Bashan. And these were kings that were opposing God's people. Zion wouldn't let God's people pass through his land. And the people of God gained the victory over him and gained the victory over Og, the king of Bashan. And as they went on their journey, they met all sorts of strange kings and all sorts of strange opposition, but no enemy was a match for them. And God reminded them of the victories that he had won for them in the past and said, here's an example of my love in conquest, in victory. And we should never forget that. We should never forget what God has done in history, what God has done for us as a nation in history, what God has done for us as a people in history, what God has done for us as a church in over 65 years of history in Newton Breda Baptist Church. God has done great things for us. You may be facing many enemies today, internally. God is a God of conquest, a God of victory. God can help you defeat those enemies and bring you to a place of blessing and success. He reminds them his love endures forever in conquest. And then finally, you'll see in these closing verses of the psalm an example of how his love endures forever in his care for his people. In verses 23 to 26, we read these words. He remembered us in our low estate. He freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. And you can hear these people singing, he remembered us in our low estate. We were nothing, and God stepped in and brought us to a place of blessing. He remembered them, and he remembers us today, and he meets our needs. One of our greatest fears in life is to be forgotten. It's been so sad even to listen to some news bulletins recently and to reflect on the tragedy of the people who die during this pandemic. Many of them have to sadly die alone without their family members at their bedside. That is so, so sad. That is so tragic. I suppose one of our greatest fears in life is that we will not be remembered, that we will just be forgotten, that we'll be just nothing. And yet the Bible says that we are precious to him. God loves you, and God knows you, and God is acquainted with your every move. We sometimes sing that song, don't we? His plans are still to prosper. He has not forgotten us. And in this psalm, we are told 26 times, his love endures forever. We see it in his character, and we see it in creation, and we see it in his calling, and we see it in his conquest. And in these closing verses, we see it in his care of his people. Peter, in his letter, wrote these words, cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. He is a God who hung the sun, the moon, the stars in space. He's the sun who placed, he's the God who placed these things in space. He's the God who placed the sun in space. It gives us light, life. God is greater than the sun. And even that powerful, almighty God knows you, loves you, and cares for you. And every day we wake up and open our eyes, we can say, thank you, God, that I've made it through another night. Thank you, God, that you care for me. Thank you, God, that your love endures forever. And if this was the psalm that Jesus sang with his disciples, this was the last hymn he sang before he went to the cross. He left the upper room that night, went into the garden, and then went to Calvary, where he suffered, bled, and died for your sins and for my sins. And he paid the price that we owed. And he bowed his head, gave up his life, and went to be with his Father God in heaven. That is the supreme demonstration of the love of God. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So today I commend you Psalm 136 with its 26 repetitive phrases. His love endures forever. And may you know his love today surrounding you, surrounding your family, surrounding your loved ones, wherever you are. May God bless you.
His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. the setting sun. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever.
Thank you, Trevor, for sharing with us, and thank you for joining us this morning. Do join us again on Wednesday night for our midweek devotion. Let's pray, and let's take some of the truths that we've learned from Psalm 136 and give thanks for them. Dear Father, we do thank you that you're a God of love. We thank you for what we've been reminded of this morning, that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. There is no end to your love. We thank you, you're a God of love, of grace, and of mercy. And we pray for us. We pray for us as humans with all our weaknesses and struggles. May we cast ourselves upon your love and your goodness and your care in our lives. And as we move out into this incoming week with all our different situations, with all the different issues that may be in our lives, with our joys, with our sorrows, with our pains, with our griefs, and all the things that may concern us, may we find real hope, real comfort, and real strength that the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. We pray, Lord God, you'll be with us. Keep us from the evil one, keep us from temptation, and help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we pray all these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.